Happy Saturday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. And today, as is every day, it's about weight. Mr. Scale and my weight. I recently spent a few days in New York City where my routines were completely broken in half. And I wasn't able to get the steps in that I usually get in the manner in which I get them. And I've often questioned, why do I do this? Well, you know, why am I out here? Why do I do this so often? Why? What's the point of all this walking? And I noticed that during my time in New York, when I wasn't able to get these steps, my weight increased. It let me know that the steps matter. Even if I may or may not see the weight loss that I'm used to, or the weight loss that I'm used to losing 2-3 pounds a day. I literally, for whatever reason, realistic or not, have it in my mind that I should be losing 2 pounds a day if I do right. And pretty much I can still adhere to that. It's not as much as I used to, and I think it might be because of age or this or that. But losing 5, 6, 7 pounds a week to me was easy. Probably because I was doing so much to maintain a unrealistic weight. You know what I mean? But I'm out here now, Saturday. And the only plans I got today is to not eat too much. I'm still on East Coast time. Woke up like 6 a.m. Laid in the bed for a couple hours on my phone, doing this, doing that. Went to bed kind of early, about 11 last night, which is early considering I shoot for like a 1 a.m. bedtime, because I have to get up at 9:20. It gives me 8 hours. I don't want to sleep too much. And another thing I want to say through all of this and why I'm doing this is that I'm not ashamed. I'm even proud that of all the times I get on here, I talk about my weight. I think it's important. I think, like Bill Maher said on the show one time, you don't see any fat 80-year-olders. Obesity has become an accepted practice. Excuses are made for it. Fashion has even been geared to it. Media has been geared to it. Promotional. I mean, such thing as fat shaming and all that. Shaming works. It may not be the most productive. It may not be the most congenial or aesthetic or mannerly, but shaming works. Peer pressure, pressure from society. The fact that, or there was a time when people rebelled against seeing skinny models on TV because it presented a unattainable body shape for a lot of people. And I will have to say this though, I agree that I was downtown, you know, since I'm downtown out here in Hollywood, I see people. And I saw a model. And They were unearthly skinny, tall and skinny. It looked unnatural. It was something beyond. And they say TV puts weight on you. So when you see somebody skinny on TV, just imagine what they look like in real life. And when I saw this person, I was like, oh my God, that's not attractive. That's just not attractive. You know, I get that too. But then there also has to come a time where we got to call people out. I think that's what I meant. Not so much fat shaming or shaming, but to call people out and say, look, sure, you can wear your hair in braids. Sure, you can get weaves and wear your nails and do all that stuff. But there's a consequence to pay for it. It's just a consequence to pay for it. And we shouldn't celebrate certain things that are actually detrimental to humanity or to a culture. And we shouldn't be ashamed of, I don't want to say demonizing certain things, that may be a harsh word, but to condemning, and definitely not socializing certain behaviors that may be deemed cultural as not to offend that culture. And obesity and eating and overweight is one of them. And I do these videos to let people know, or to show people. It's some bragging, it's some bravado. I'm that kind of person, I got ego. I don't know if it's ego, but I do like to, I'm an exhibitionist. I like to show off, I like to perform. And being out here walking, keeping my weight down, monitoring my weight, going directly at a subject that a lot of people would just avoid, or some people might even find offensive. I don't think you're allowed to talk about weight at work. I think it's under the protected class. The 12 things that you're not allowed to talk about in the workplace. And I think weight and shape is one of them. You see me sticking my tongue on the dog. The dog was looking at me. I should have did something. It's like the owner don't be looking at you. The owner be looking at the dog. The dog be looking at me. And sometimes I'll stick my tongue out or do something to make the dog bark just to watch the owner, you know. Now you stop it, Tammy. Tammy, stop it. We don't bark at people, Tammy. Oh my God, it was a couple on the airplane the other day. Haley and Ryan's parents. How do I know their names? You can imagine why. These kids was out of control. These kids was out of control. And this morning, I watched a video. I think Brian Shaw was talking about Kobe and Phil Jackson and Shaq and the Lakers. And he said, and Brian Shaw asked him, you know, Phil, how come you don't never tell Kobe no? How come you don't ever, you know, tell him no or get on him or, you know, put him in his place, quote unquote, but you'll be all over Shaq. He says, Brian Shaw said, he had a German Shepherd. And the trainer said for the first 6 to 8 months, he didn't want to tell the dog no. He wanted the dog to grow up feeling empowered like that. He said, don't tell him no. And Phil Jackson said, because he wanted Kobe to develop like that in his early career, because he's gonna need to have that bravado, that confidence, to where he always wants the ball, that he feels unstoppable. You know, you want him to have that in him, that he feels like anytime, any place, you know, full on, take the shot, let's go. You want him to be that person. And I guess you could probably apply that to children too. But there comes a limit to where the children are just completely out of control, to the point where they're abusing the parents. And in this situation, Haley and Ryan were just, it's the tone, you know, so and the tone, they're screaming at their mother, their parents, and it had that almost like anger, not anger, but you're like an anger, like a disrespectful tone and anger. These kids got to be 3 or 4 years old. And I'm like, of course they was white. And the parents were like, oh, Haley, oh, Ryan, okay. Here, you want this? Here, if you sit down, I give you some goldfish. Oh, you want this? Do you want to sit down? Oh, please, can you? And I thought, you know, me, I try to be, you know, open-minded and fair about things. I thought, did my kids ever do that? And I also thought, they never did it with me. That's in my mind. I don't think I would. They wouldn't have done it with me. And then again, I'll go back and I'll say, it's because I'm not with them 24 hours a day. And I have so much homage and respect, and I bow down to the parents or the people who are with children 24 hours a day, who are on the front line, who have to fight that battle their every waking moment. Because it's almost like the child is going to win. The toddler is going to win. The toddler has more energy, and that's all the toddler has to do, was to figure out your game. Figure out your game and the game on how to get what they want. Every waking moment, that's what they are focused on. Where you got to go to work, go to school, change that child's diaper, get that child dressed, make sure the child is this. Child ain't even got to worry about that. The only thing the child got to worry about is, how do I get what I want? What's the best learning life? And how to get what they want and how to respond. And they got a lot of energy already. It's like a battle that, you know, I don't see myself being able to dedicate myself to. So, but like I said, I don't think my kids did that to me. And it comes back to me having Mr. Clarence Mitchell come home every day. If it's one thing I realized I learned from him was how to discipline and not to be afraid to discipline. To almost, in my case, I embrace it. I like it. I like granddaughter putting, you know, discipline a granddaughter, letting her know. Because I know in the long run, it's going to benefit her. To at least know that that's out there. To at least know that's out there. And again, people on the front line, especially mothers, nurturing. I've said this before, but at this point, my supervisor said, it's like she looked at her children, everything they did was just charming and admirable and just went right through her heart. Everything they did. So it's very difficult to discipline a child if you think everything they do is just wonderful and amazing and fills you with so much joy and happiness. Everything. And I guess so. Yeah, I guess you got to have, I don't want to say two-parent household because that kind of has a connotation to it in today's political, social dialect. But I can see where you should have nurturing and discipline, the two sides of it. The two sides so they can learn. Because granddaughter, you know, ever since day one, I told her, and I love telling this story, like I told my niece, the problem with them is they love you too much. Now, you can deduce that back all the way you want to me, to being that you don't love me too much, and the answer, I will look up straight in the face and I will say no. And I mean it. I mean it. It's my role. I embrace it. I like it. I enjoy being that person. I enjoy being that person. And I learned it more than likely from Clarence Walter Mitchell coming home and every day. And he didn't teach me, he showed me. He just showed me there's a standard, there's a guideline to being a Mitchell. There's certain things we do and there's certain things we don't do. Like I said, his family was conservative. You know, house always in place. Not just in place, but arranged in a very conservative, higher class, upper, you know, echelon, upper taste of society. He went over there, like at the store I tell, it was a candy dish on that table in the living room, right there. It was there for probably 20 years. Kids running in and out. Well, take that back. We didn't run in that house. We didn't run in that house. Now, my mother's family, we tore up everything. In and out the back door. Hear the back door slamming. Running, playing the ash pile. It was just, that's where I always wanted to go. I think I stayed at my father's parents' house one night. I damn near used to live at my grandma's house. You know, we go over there with all the cousins. We had freedom. You know, we was running around, running in and out. You know, ah, she holler at us, get switches and beat us, all that. You know, that's where you learn all that. Jeffrey, stop. Jeffrey, what are you doing? Boy, you know, all that. My father's parents, everything was set the same way. You know, dishes, just perfect, just set in place. The same toys were upstairs in my father's in them room. My father in his brother's room. We used to play in that room. And some say it was just like it was when they lived there, you know, 20, 30 years ago. You know, the same toys, we played with the toys, whatever. We put them back right where they were supposed to be. We knew all that. And that's, you know, I got that upbringing. And I got that discipline. And I got that idea of how to live or how things work or how they handle things. And I learned that from my father's family. But also with my mother's family, I learned to be, I don't want to say streetwise, but something like that. I learned how to be not in the hood, not ghetto, but it's not ghetto, it's not hood. You just learn how to deal with the more funky side of life. You know, just how to deal with the more funky side of life. That it ain't all like, oh, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, thank you. No, it's a little bit more than that. I don't think I think about grandma on my mother's side. I don't think I ever said yes, ma'am. If I did say yes, ma'am, it was because my father was there. And you know, he wasn't having it. But yeah, my grandmother, yeah, it was okay. Now it was yes. You know, it was, we pronounced it. I pronounced it, but it wasn't no yes, ma'am. What time? Nana, in fact, Nana and Papa. Nana, you can guess which one Nana was. And Grandma. Nana and Papa. One time Nana asked me, she said, would you like some ice cream? And I said, yes. And I probably said yes because I knew it was going to be some kind of weird, fancy ice cream that I didn't like. It wasn't going to be no like vanilla or Oreo cookies or thing. It was going to be some kind of, you know, something like that. So I said, yes. And she said, yes, what? And I said, yes, I would like some ice cream. And I think she let that go. She just let that, you know, I don't think it went any farther than that. I remember that. You know, one of the few times I stayed over there. Yeah, I mean, and I'm glad I got both sides. Like I said, I know how to handle myself. I'm comfortable handling myself on the street. And I don't mean like streetwise, but in the street, you know, dealing with people face to face up front at a stereotypical black way of life, black style, like a Negro. Learn how to be a nigger. Not nigger. Learn how to be a nigger in a good way. You know, learn how to, in a good way. And not the, you know, bad way. Not that there's a good way or a bad way, but there is, you know.
So, yeah.
I got distracted, people. People be distracting me. I said, you see him coming, get the damn dog out the way. Move. Figure out a way. Get off the phone. Think what you're doing. Multitask. But then again, I'm aware of the quote-unquote shortcomings of people. People have things going on in their lives. Everybody isn't as clear-headed and free and have their lives cleaned up like you do, Jeffrey. So, I give leeway. But I still enjoy, because I'm human, I still enjoy snapping back. Getting that. I love getting that every now and then. I mean, let's face it. I'm living in an earthly heaven right now. So earthly and so heaven-like that I got a responsibility not to squander or waste this opportunity on this planet right now. That's where I'm at. I'm not worried about, my concern isn't survival at this point. It's excelling. It's my concern is going beyond and above other people. And not to put them down or I step on them or go over them, but to take it places, more like to go places, develop things that no one else has done. I have the freedom to do that. I have the space, the resources to develop ideas, ideologies, create things, either way you want to look at it, that have never been done before, or at least looked at. Or at least looked at. You know, as far as being demonstrated, at least present it, you know, to at least present these things as an option. Because a lot of times it's just that. It's just finding things or seeing things a certain way that you can present as an option. I thought I lost my bag again. I'm wearing my bag. Remember last time I was walking this way? I think when last time I walked this way, I dropped it. And then on the way home, I bought another one. And then I got home and said, I'm going to go look for it. And I traced my path, and I found it. So now I got two. And I'm still using the old one. But, and that's kind of what I'm talking about now. When I talk about what I need to do, my legacy, what I want to leave behind, what I want to create, you know, what I want to develop, I got a hell of an opportunity to the point that where I'm thinking about retiring early because I don't want to underestimate how much work and time that I want to put in this. But the only thing about that retiring early thing, or retiring period, retiring early, well, early to me was before 70. That's early. Get the maximum Social Security at 70. If I retire before then, I'm considering that early. And that's not early retirement. Early retirement would be this year. I can retire this year and start getting money. But I spend too much and I'm too lazy to do that. And I love and respect my job. It gets me up in the morning, keeps me motivated, the performance review, all of that, learning the possibilities of it. I mean, the swagger of being downtown Manhattan, Time Life Building, downtown LA, Southern California Gas Building, right there in the middle of these major metropolitans that I love. Walking outside from my office, catching a cab, getting home, doing my expense report, turning it in, the whole thing, the whole gamut, I just love all that. being a part of that. Of course, you can say, yeah, you can develop that all yourself, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And it's not that I'm not up for it, but it might be that I'm not up for it. I don't know. But either way, I don't want to squander. So I'm going to really take stock. Maybe if I get myself disciplined and get right, whatever that means, to where I can trust myself being retired. But it's going to be hard to walk away from that money. And even working, especially working from home now, it really doesn't limit me from doing what I want to do. There's still a lot of space and a lot of room for me to work and accomplish a lot of things. So it really isn't, it's really not a hindrance to, well, it is, but it's not. You know, I can pretty much do what I want to do. Or I can figure out a way to do whatever I want to do. Within the bounds given me or not given me. You see, if I stretch this all the way out and hold it from the middle, is that a little bit easier to kind of like balance it? I wonder if I like even bring it like that to balance it and to let the back of the, let the balance help me in holding it where I don't have to angle it. What if I hold it like this? Ooh, that's even easier, huh? If I hold it like that, what if I put it under my arm and go like this? Or if I put it in my pocket? If I put it in my pocket or something like that and hold it. But I don't want it to bounce around so much. Anyway, so that's where I'm at on the Saturday. Trying to be disciplined. Mr. Scale told me 224 this morning, which is not good. I was 219, I do believe, like last Saturday or something like that, last Friday. It's because of the New York food and breaking routine, even though I got my 10,000 steps. And I was thinking that too. I might need to change that from getting my 10,000 steps to not getting my 15,000 steps. On a work day, I'm doing 15, 16,000 steps. On a work day, I'm doing 15. I don't be trusting people. I don't be trusting people. You see, I get quiet when I walk across the street or something because I'm looking people in the face. I'm making sure they see me. You know, I'm not going to put my fate completely in someone else's hands. I'm responsible to a point for my well-being, regardless of the situation I'm in. I'm responsible, and I want to make sure I do my part to protect myself and to keep myself safe and not rely on the competence or thereby incompetence of other people who may be distracted. It might not even be incompetence. It just might be a lack of judgment, poor judgment, or just something like that. Anyhow, Ventura Boulevard, beautiful day. Well, I guess you could say it's, everything is beautiful. Beautiful is relative. And I say that now because it's not the warmest. It's not the most sunshiniest. You know, it's clouds in the sky. Though it's not really cloudy. Skies are bluish. You know, it could be more either, you know, in any other direction that people would consider beautiful. But it is a beautiful day. It's all subjective. Like I've always said, everything is subjective. It's subjectively To me right now, this is almost like a perfect day. This is almost like a perfect day. Not too hot, not too cold, not too sunny, airy. Perfect is relative. Maybe next week, perfect could be something else. Go to Ohio, perfect could mean something else. Go to New York, perfect, it means something else. I like that. I like that. So, that's where we're at. I could probably go to storage. I was thinking about getting home, eating my normal breakfast that I would eat on a work day, getting dressed and going to storage, doing some work in storage. Consider that. That would give me something to do. Instead of, because on my way home, like I said, I got my Steeler knapsack and 3 reusable grocery bags, plastic version. I'm gonna stop by Ralph's. And you know what that can turn into. But I hope to be sensible. I hope to be sensible about it. Last night I ate a salad. And I didn't get up and get ice cream. I knew there was some ice cream in there. And I think some little, like some brownies or something that I got. You know, it's a free snack on the airplane. So, and I didn't get up and get that. I rolled over and went to sleep. I got to start doing that. I could have got some potato chips or this or that. But the salad I had, probably, I don't want you to get the idea that the salad I had was good. it tasted good, but between, I crunched up rice cakes in it, rice cakes, cheese, sausage, lettuce, a lot of dressing, a lot of cheese. So, you know, don't get the idea just because it was a salad that it was, you know, healthy. It probably wasn't. Yeah, I gotta get salad dressing too now. I got some salad dressing in there. It says the 2022. It's been in the cupboard. It says you gotta use it by 2022. I'm gonna Google. It says, you know, the date on it is 2022. But it hasn't been open. It's been in my cabinet. The Thousand Island does look like it's turning brown. Looks like the shade of it isn't as orange as it could be. So, but the, I don't know, the Thousand, the Italian might be all right. But I don't know. I don't know. Well, I might just buy some more. Anyway, but let's buy some more. You can afford it. Throw it away. Don't even risk it. I'm like, risk what? There we go. The Roomba finished. I cleaned my Roomba the other day. I mean, I really cleaned it. I took it apart. I didn't take it apart. But I took the canister off and just didn't dump it. I took the canister apart and really got in there and rinsed the filter and really cleaned it. There was some stuff in there because it was telling me the job is completed, but check it out. You know, the job is completed successfully and, you know, Roomba has returned home, but you might want to check it out and do some maintenance. I'm like, okay. But I never did it. And I looked today, I said, let me dig on this thing. I went ahead, dumped it out, and it was stuff all stuck in there, still stuck in there. And I took that part out, took this part out. I said, oh, wow. Oh, okay. So I got that going. Let that run while I'm gone. So today is starting off, and I got up a little bit earlier because, you know, I'm still on East Coast time. So I was awake, I think at 6:30 or something like that, laying in the bed for a couple hours, just, you know, having time to myself. Just having time to myself in the quiet, just, you know, being able to scroll and relax. Don't have to get up, no TV, no music, just listening to reels or not even listening to podcasts. You know how you scroll through Facebook and you look at one of your videos, the next thing you know, you watching Drink Champs and Method Man is telling you the story about how he was at the House of Blues on Sunset, and Suge and Tupac and all that, Big Puffy and all them. Now you get caught up in watching that. But the thing that caught me was, he was talking about, yeah, he was there. You know, he was on mushrooms, this or that or whatever, you know, kind of tripping. He said he remember he was at Pink Dot. They was hanging out in the back of Pink Dot. And I was like, oh, we all park at Pink Dot. I used to park at Pink Dot, behind Pink Dot, across from the House of Blues. And I Googled it. It's still there. It's still there. In fact, I Googled it. And when I Googled it, it wasn't even open yet. That's how early I was, you know, this morning. I used to be a morning person. Maybe I need to get back to that. Maybe if I get back to that, it'll curb my eating. You know, maybe if I start doing more in the morning and less in the evening, it'll curb my eating. Who knows? You know? If I fall asleep early, if I get sleepy and fall asleep, instead of staying up later, maybe that's part of my eating, not issue, but you know. Okay, I'm walking. Full disclosure, look like one of those cycling glasses got out, and this white girl walking ahead of me, wearing leggings. How did we become accustomed to leggings? How did leggings become mainstream? I mean, the whole idea at one time, I do believe, was for a woman to hide her figure. Hell, there's still people wearing burkas, or whatever you call them. They cover their whole body so they hide their shape. Now it's to the point, you could damn near wear these leggings to show off all your curves and figures. You know, and it's definitely sensual. It's hard not to look at it, maybe for a male or just maybe for me, and not feel a sensuality or sexuality, especially if they got shapely legs and everything is tight. You see they butt curves and everything, and sometimes someone's too tight, they should be going up all the wrong places. When do we become accustomed to that? Now, I'm not saying that I don't enjoy it. I'm not saying that I don't get pleasure from it. And I'm definitely, when what I am saying is, the people who made these things knew what they were doing. Obviously, the women who buy them and the people who made them knew what they were doing, that it was going to have that effect. But in the workplace, you know, then a woman would wear like their shirt hanging down over it. But to see the female contour, you know, if done correctly, can be tasteful, but still a little bit too sensual or sexual for the workplace, even though it's tasteful and appropriate. I'm just, you know, pondering. I'm just pondering the idea. I can make it, but I don't want to. Because I'm like walking, And some of these females be looking damn good in them things. I mean, excruciatingly good. I'm like, hold up. When you got up in the morning and put them damn things on, you knew what you was doing. I'm sure you know what you look like. I'm sure you're aware the effect you may or may not have on people who see you. Because women, they're going to observe and examine what they wear in great detail. They go to great lengths to look good. And I'll say this too. It's almost unfair that a man can basically go out looking any kind of way and get away with it. But if a woman does it, it's atrocious. It's unacceptable. No, it's not even unacceptable. It's trashy. Not trashy, but it's low class. They definitely held to, appearance-wise, women definitely held to a higher standard. There's no doubt about that. Fair or unfair, I don't care how you want to look at it. In fact, if I see a female wearing the same thing twice, I'm going to go, ugh, or something like that. Is that fair or not fair? Who knows? Who knows? Well, it probably doesn't matter if it's fair or unfair. It just is. And what is fair and what is unfair? Everything is subjective. Let's go down that road. Nothing matters. North Ventura, South Los Angeles, 101 South. Go through the 170 to Hollywood Freeway. Looks like I'm gonna miss my crossing. I mean, like, white girl walking down here now. She got them tight shorts, you know, form fitting. And, you know, they show off the same sensuality. But it's weird because even though they're shorts, it doesn't give off the same, you don't get the same contour or whatever, it's different. The shorts come off differently than leggings. Leggings hit differently. Even though you can see their legs, just like, you know, you can see their legs, just like, you know, wearing the leggings, you can see the shape of the leggings. But the leggings put something on it. And I'm sure the seat, the butt part, put something on that too. And the whole thing, I mean, we know what we're doing, people. We all know what we're doing here. We know what sells, we know what doesn't sell. There's studies and research done. I mean, committees, groups, focus groups, blah, 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 blah. You know, everything, I ain't gonna say everything is orchestrated. But most stuff is planned. A lot of stuff is planned out, thought out. And because it's been, if it's been done twice, if you do it once and then you go to do it again, you almost have to do it. You don't almost have to, but you almost are, you more than likely are going to do it better with experience. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. Anyhow, walking under the 101 freeway. Saturday morning, feeling good. Get my steps in. Hoping the rest of the day goes accordingly to, you know, goes according to benefit my health and weight. If I can get something done, I keep saying that, if I can just get something done. Rolling Loud, March 14th to the 17th, at SoFi. Oh, I think my niece went to the last one. She didn't go to this one, I guess. Maybe went to the last one. Anyhow, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the phone. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. Totality of it all. Hypothesis of all as one. theory of universe. My name is Justin.